was a perfect pitch moment, wasn't it? That was gorgeous, guys. Thank you. Our scripture today is found in Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for the good deed done to a helpless man, by which means he has been made whole, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.'" I'd ask those to kneel with me if you are able. Father in heaven, I first want to ask for forgiveness that we might approach your throne, and thank you for your son's sacrifice that we might do so. Father, I want to pray for those who are having any memories of pain or loss or fear from what happened 20 years ago, and if we can be of help to anyone, that you'll impress upon us to do so. Father, I also want to pray that we submit ourselves to your will, that we be given the strength to follow your will, and that we will be sensitive to your time to step forward or step back. Father, I pray for Eurides that you give strength and power to his words, that we might draw closer to you, that we might recognize your sovereigns, and again, know that you are our only hope and salvation. And Father, by keeping our eyes on you and on Jesus, that we might also be resistant to the fear that this world brings upon us, that we might know that you have conquered this world, and that we need to give that good news to those around us. Father, I pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Happy Sabbath. It feels so good to be in church this morning. It feels so good to be able to breathe some fresh air. The other day, as I was going to work, ash all over my car. I was like, what is going on? This is not right. And so we kept praying for rain and for the smoke to go away, and we finally got a break. And we praise the Lord for that. I'm really happy to see Shamar and Abby here today with us. It's nice to see you guys. If there's any other visitors with us, thank you for coming to our church. We're happy to see you here. And today, I also want to welcome to church our newest member, as his dad. We have with us Josiah Fortuna. He is our baby. He was born August 6th. At 10:08 a.m. And he's keeping us awake, mostly, at night, although we're starting to get some sleep. And it feels good to be able to sleep. Well, I am sleeping. My wife is not, sadly, because I have to go to work. But these are some pictures that Colleen requested me to put on screen so you can see him. This basket we got at our baby shower at church, we're so thankful we got that basket. We love it so much. It's so cute. And this was right yesterday, Josiah turned 5 weeks old. So we are so blessed to have him in our family and have him be part of our church family as well. So welcome, Josiah, to church. This is your church family, and we all love you a lot. All right. On a different note, going back to what Rod was talking about today, 20 years ago today, let us take a moment to remember for those of us who were alive and remember what happened back then. And for those of you who are too young to remember, let's briefly talk a little bit about it so you can understand a little bit better. On September 11 was, my wife was asking me, was it a big deal in the Dominican Republic for you guys? And I was like, well, I don't know if for the whole country it was a big deal, but certainly for my family it was, since if you know Dominicans, if someone is in the United States, everything is New York. There's nothing else but New York. Doesn't matter how big the United States is. Someone else took an airplane, is going to New York. Doesn't matter if it's going to Europe, mind you, or South America. Everyone who leaves is going to New York. So my uncle was living in Boston, and of course no one had cell phones back then, and they just heard that there was destruction in New York, and there was people dead, and bombs and explosions and airplanes falling. And my grandma and my aunt were losing their mind. And so I remember these very sad 2-3 days in my family where they didn't know anything about my uncle, if he was okay or what was going on, if he was dead or what. So it was really hard for my family to deal with, they didn't know what to expect. And a couple of days later, my uncle called. He lives in Boston. So he was okay. Nothing happened to him. But hearing the news and how many people were affected by this attack was really sad for us. For those who don't know what happened, September 11, 2001, these attacks are often referred to as 9/11. And these were a series of 4 coordinated terrorist attacks by the military Islam terrorist group Al-Qaeda. And it was done against the United States of America on the morning of Tuesday, September 11, 2001. On that morning, 4 commercial airlines traveling from the eastern United States to California were hijacked mid-flight by 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists. They were divided in 4 groups of 5 and 1 group of 4. Each group had one hijacker who had received flight training and took control of their aircraft while they were flying. Their explicit goal was to crash each plane into a prominent American building, causing mass casualties and partial or complete destruction of the target buildings. The first plane to hit its target was American Airlines Flight 11. It was flown into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in Lower Manhattan at 8:46 a.m. Then 17 minutes later, at 9:03, the World Trade Center's South Tower was hit by United Flight 175. Both buildings were 110-story towers, and they both collapsed within an hour and 42 minutes, and then also leading to the collapse of the World Trade Center structures, including 7 World Trade Centers, and significantly damaging surrounding buildings around it as well. Not only New York was hit, but a third flight, American Airlines 77, flown by from the Dulles International Airport, was hijacked over Ohio. And at 9:37 a.m., it crashed onto the west side of the Pentagon, which was the headquarters of the American military. And in Arlington County, Virginia, causing a partial collapse of the building side. The fourth airplane then, and final flight, United Airlines Flight 93, was flown in the direction of Washington, D.C. Some people think they were probably targeting either the White House or the Capitol. This airplane crashed near Shanksville, Pennsylvania at 10:03, since the people on the airplane trying to gain control back from the terrorists. They were very brave men. These attacks resulted in over or around 3,000 people who lost their lives, and over 25,000 people who were injured, and substantial long-term health consequences for those who were involved serving and helping people. In addition to at least $10 billion damage in infrastructure and property, this attack remains one of the deadliest attacks by terrorists, both to the world and to the United States. And when I look back to this tragedy, I can't imagine what people who were right there in the moment were feeling. Some of you were probably just watching the TV in your homes and were terrified. My wife told me she was terrified as a high schooler because they didn't know what to do. You were on boarding school, right? Academy? Where were you? Yeah. But you still remember, right? And you were terrified, according to what she said. And I was watching a short 6 minutes video yesterday and was remembering this, and it was really sad. My eyes got full in tears, and it was just devastating. And the sermon for today, the title is, "There is Power in the Name." How do I tie 7-11, or 9-11, sorry, and it's not the same thing. How do I tie 9-11 to the power in the name of Jesus? There are many names out there. Fear is a name. Sickness is a name. Disease, if you want to name one specifically, cancer. COVID-19, the most popular name in the last 2 years, the most Googled name. And let me tell you, those are powerful names. Because they are taking people's life. Terrorism, September 11, 20 years ago, is a powerful name that caused a deep impression in our hearts. But there is nothing in life like the name of Jesus. There is nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus gives us peace. The name of Jesus has power to heal sickness. The name of Jesus has power to transform lives. There's nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. Let us look throughout the Bible and see some verses that tell us specifically some of the things that the name of Jesus can do. Before that, let's have a short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to open your word this morning, but we don't want to do it without your guidance. Please send your Holy Spirit. Be with us as we study and as we think about your name, which is the most powerful name we can ever pronounce. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. If we go to our scripture, Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12, we find a story of the disciples where they used the name of Jesus to perform a miracle, and that brought them some consequences. But that didn't stop them from using that name and from glorifying that name. So we find here the disciples, Peter. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you all." what is going on here? If you open your Bible, since I didn't have time to put it on the slideshow, and you go to chapter 3, you're going to find the actual story, what happened. Peter and John went up together to the temple to pray. And while they're going up to the temple, this is you can find the story, verses 1 through 16 in chapter 3, book of Acts. You can see Peter and John going to the temple to pray. Then there's a lame man who comes and is asking something from them. He's begging. It's just desperate. And then we can see on verses 6 on Acts chapter 3, Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And what happened with the man? He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bonds received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. It's such a beautiful story. We see the disciples doing exactly what Jesus commanded them to do, what Jesus asked them to do. Go out there and make disciples and baptize them and teach them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so Peter and John go to the temple to pray. There's this man who's being tormented by this sickness since he was born, and he's begging them to help him, but they don't have anything. They probably didn't even work. They didn't have any possessions. But Peter, full of faith, tells him, "I don't have anything, but I do have something. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up." And grabbing him, helping up, and then they went up into the temple, praising God for this miracle. So this is what happened. Peter and John do something good for one of the people of Israel. Now, we keep looking into the story. If we go at the beginning of chapter 4, verse 1, let's turn to chapter 4, verse 1. They got in trouble for healing this man. The leaders, the Sadducees and the scribes and the priests, the high priests, heard what had happened with this man, and then they asked Peter and John, "Why do you do this? Who gives you authority to perform these miracles?" Let's read chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "Now, as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed, and they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they lay hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So we see the leaders coming and accusing Peter and John, taking them into custody, taking them to jail. And now they were going to face the consequences of helping someone. And it is very interesting that even after them being sent to jail, the outcome of that day was someone was healed and many thousand people more believed in Jesus by what they did. The disciples could have been afraid and just run away, and I don't want to face these consequences. I'm just going to go somewhere else because I don't want to have to explain to anybody why I did what I did. But they were full of faith. and they were ready to proclaim the name of Jesus no matter what the outcome was. Verse 5 of chapter 4 says, "And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were on the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And they had sent them in the midst, and they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" The question is, did they know which name the disciples used to heal the man? Yes, they did. Because thousands of people, as the result of that miracle, came to believe in Jesus that same day. And so what we infer from this story right here, when Peter and John healed this man, it didn't bother the leaders that the man was healed. It bothered them that the name of Jesus was being lifted high. And that in the name of Jesus, many people were being saved. And were being added to Christianity. And in the name of Jesus, what they thought was right was just falling apart. So Peter and John, instead of bringing peace, instead of bringing good things into the people, were doing something bad in their eyes. But the lesson we learned from them, is that we must not be afraid of glorifying the name of Jesus wherever we go. The same passage, Acts chapter 4, the end of this passage, we can read. Peter keeps talking. "This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." That is one of the things that the name of Jesus can do. The name of Jesus brings us salvation. The book of John, chapter 14, verse 6 says, "Jesus said to him, 'I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" In the name of Jesus, we have access to God the Father. Philippians, chapter 2, verse 9 through 11, verses 9 through 11 said, "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Going back to John chapter 14, verse 13, "Whatever you ask in my name, says Jesus, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Luke chapter 10, verse 17. "The 72 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved." And Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin." I could keep going on. I'll probably be here tomorrow, verse by verse, just studying and seeing how wonderful the name of Jesus is. But that last verse that we just read, it just grabs the whole essence of the gospel. That the name of that child is Jesus, because he will save the whole humanity from its sin. Have we ever doubted the name of Jesus? How many times do we struggle with things in life as Christians or just as human beings? And we doubt that God is with us to end. And we're afraid of calling on his name because of the consequences. And we're afraid of being a witness where we go. Not because we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to make anybody feel bad. We don't want to push them away from Jesus. What we learned today is that sometimes people won't agree with us when we do good things in the name of Jesus. When we serve others in the name of Jesus, there's people who will be against us. But maybe, perhaps, just as it happened that day with the disciples, thousands of people will come to know him by those good things we do if we have the courage of using the power of the name of Jesus. In this passage, we learn some things that I want to highlight. One of the things that we notice is, if we go back, it's actually verse 1, if you look in your Bible, they were sent to jail, and then next morning, in the morning, was where the leaders of the people came to judge them. The same thing happened with Jesus. They caught him in the night, and they waited until next morning to judge him. Something else we notice is that this is happening in Jerusalem. The same Jerusalem where years ago Jesus had cried over and Jesus had just foretold his destruction because they rejected the name of Jesus, the powerful name of Jesus. And then this is something that also makes me think about September 11, 20 years ago. Our world in general, because it's not just here, it's not just the United States, it's everywhere. We've been seeing destruction everywhere. Perhaps because the world is walking away from the name of Jesus. Perhaps because it's so bad to mention the name of Jesus and you cannot even publicly go and say his name because it's bad. And we see how society and how it's just walking away every day from the Christian's principles that can bring salvation unto the world. And we see people who are confused, who believe in other gods, who the things they do it in the name of their God. And they believe that there's name in there's power in the name of their God. But we know by the Bible that there's nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. These people who were judging the disciples, they were rulers. They were elders. They were scribes. They were men of learning. They were supposed to discern and understand and have the gospel and have the law of God. These rulers and elders were men in power who, if they could not answer them, then they thought they could find some cause or other cause to silence the disciples if they couldn't answer to the question of in which name, which authority you do these things. The Bible mentions some of the names of them. Perhaps because The writer here, Luke, wanted to specifically remind us of who they were and the power they had. It wasn't just someone local in Jerusalem. It was like the highest of the highest in Jerusalem judging the disciples. So they had a reason to be afraid, but they were not. Annas was the president of the Sanhedrin, and Caiaphas the high priest. Though Annas is here called Saul, and the father of the house of judgment. So he was in charge of judging and bringing justice into Jerusalem for criminals who did bad things. But now the disciples were being judged as criminals, as if what they did was bad. It's important to notice that these two that are mentioned in this list, they were most active against Jesus when Jesus was taken to jail as well. The question they asked was, by what power or by what name have you done this? By what authority do you do these things? Do you remember that the same question was asked to Jesus? If you go back, Matthew chapter 21, verse 23, you can find where Jesus was asked the same question, by which authority do you do these things? What we're seeing is the story repeated from Jesus to his disciples. Leaders, high men trying to accuse them of doing bad things when in reality they were doing good things, when in reality they were just preaching the gospel. They were bringing good deeds to the people of Israel. But they rejected the name. They rejected Jesus. And they brought upon themselves the destruction from which they have been warned against. They asked, who commissioned you to preach such doctrine as this and empower you to work such a miracle as this? You have no warrant or license from us, and therefore you are accountable to us where you have your warrant. So some think that this question was something they asked everyone. But it's very interesting that the disciples didn't take credit for what happened that day. They didn't say, what's us? Oh, we're powerful people here. We can do whatever we want. They claim on the name of the only one who could save them from that time. And they replied, in the name of Jesus, our Master, in his name, we perform these miracles. By Peter's answers, we learn some things. First one, we learn that Peter justifies what he did and his colleague. And he said, we're not doing something bad. We did something good, and we did it in the name of Jesus. What we did was that these men who needed help, we helped him. We just helped someone. We didn't steal anything from anybody. We just helped him. Something else we see from Peter's answer is that he transfers all the praise and glory of his good deed to Jesus. It wasn't by them. It wasn't by him. It was in the name of Jesus. Something else, he charges it upon the judges themselves that they had been the murderers of Jesus. And just, Peter was really bold. This Jesus, the one I'm using, the one who has the power to heal the man, you crucified. And you can see the contrast in here. Peter is saying, someone needed, there's a helpless man, and he has been made well in the name of Jesus. We did something good for him. But you are judging us, and you remember what you did? The name of that powerful man we use, Jesus Christ, that one, why you crucified him? Peter is just showing the injustice they had done before. and saying, I do something in the name of Jesus, and it's good. We do something in the name of Jesus, it's good. What you did in the name of who, I don't know, it was bad. You crucified someone who didn't deserve to die. So he's basically, passively, aggressively, kind of like accusing them too. Something else, Peter attests the resurrection of Christ as the strongest testimony for him and against his persecutors. Not only says, you crucified this Jesus, but this Jesus got raised from the dead. And he's just glorifying the name of Jesus and his resurrection and saying he is alive. You think you killed him? Guess what? He is alive. And I don't know if Peter was trying to scare them off and like, hey, if you do something to me, remember the one you killed? In the name of him, we're doing these things. And if you do something bad to us, remember that he was raised from the dead? We could possibly do that as well. Like, I can see Peter trying to, like, we're doing this, we didn't do anything wrong here. He was pretty bold. He had the power of the name of Jesus to preach the gospel. Something else we notice in Peter's answer is that he preaches this to all the bystanders, to be by then repeated to all their neighbors, and commands all manners of person, from the highest to the lowest, to take notice of it at their peril. Be known to you, he says, that are present here, and it shall be made known to all the people of Israel, whatever they are dispersed, in spite of all your endeavors to stifle and suppress the notice of it. As the Lord God of gods knows, so Israel shall know, all Israel shall know that wonders are wrought in the name of Jesus, not by repeating it as a charm, but believing in it as a divine revelation of grace and goodwill to men. So what they were doing was not just, hey, I'm just using the name of Jesus. In fact, we're not supposed to use his name just because we want to use it. But have you feel the peace when you mention the name of Jesus? I remember a poem or a song in Spanish. You know, attempt to translate it. I don't know that I'll succeed. But it says, Jesus, when I mention your great name, thousand flowers grow in the desert. You are like a rain. You are fire in the cold winter and a rain in the drought. Something along those lines. And every time I remember that song, I wish I could play it or I could sing it, but didn't get ready for that. Every time I think about the name of Jesus bringing flowers in the desert. You know what, the desert is really hot and there nothing grows in there. Can you imagine thousands and thousands of flowers growing in the desert just when you mention the name of Jesus? Can you imagine being cold and just by mentioning the name of Jesus, you know, feeling warm because it's like a fire in the coldest winter? The name of Jesus brings comfort. And what we see here the disciples doing is not just saying the name of Jesus because they wanted to say it because it was something that identified them. But it was something that really had the power to heal that man. And it really had the power to convert those thousand peoples. And it really had the power to do many, many great things after that, which they showed in the rest of the books, of the book of Acts. The name of Jesus. By his authority, they acted. The invitation is for us to be as bold as the disciples, to be as brave as they were, to have the same courage, to stand for the truth, to recognize that there is power in the name of Jesus and that we can use it, not in our favor. That will do us good to ourselves, but what's that like? Serving others and having others come to Jesus' feet and to know him by the power of his name, that's what I want to do today. And that's the invitation for you as well. We go to the book of Acts of the Apostles, page 592, Auntie Ellen says, "The disciples were men who knew how to speak and pray sincerely, men who could take hold of the might of the strength of Israel. How closely they stood by the side of God and bound their personal honor to his throne. Jehovah was their God. His honor was their honor. His truth was their truth. Any attack made upon the gospel was as if cutting deep into their souls. And with every power of their being, they battle for the cause of Christ. They could hold forth the war of life because they had received the heavenly anointing. They expected much, and therefore they attempted much. Christ had revealed himself to them, and to him they looked for guidance. Their understanding of truth and their power to withstand opposition were proportionate to their conformity to God's will. Jesus Christ, the wisdom and power of God, was the theme of every discourse. His name, the only name given under heaven whereby man can be saved, was by them exalted. As they proclaimed the completeness of Christ, the risen Savior, their words moved hearts, and men and women were won to the gospel. Multitudes who had reviled the Savior's name and despised his power now confess themselves disciples of the crucified." This is the message Peter and John were preaching that day. This God, whom they knew, whom they had a relationship with, who gave them authority to do these things and gave them his name, is the same God we serve today. And we are called to serve, and we are called to lift up his name. And maybe we cannot perform miracles like John and Peter did. We cannot just heal someone. Maybe it is within our possibilities, but we don't have enough faith to do it. But we are still called to use the name of Jesus and to have faith in it. And so I just want us to think about that name that is above all names. And remember the words of that beautiful song that said, "Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer and living Word." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for that beautiful name, for that powerful name that can bring salvation to our souls. We thank you for that name that can bring good things to our lives, to our families, no matter what we're going through. The name of Jesus is what you have given us to be comforted by. Thank you for providing salvation for us. Thank you for being a good God. Thank you for letting us know that when we call on your name, when we mention your name, powerful things can happen. And in this moment, Lord, we want to have that promise with us. We want to use the name and the power of it to bless others. Please draw us closer to you. Send your Holy Spirit and help us to always serve you wherever we go, to be bold as the disciples and to use your name and glorify you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.